Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around, my friend. There's a lot of bad news out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become a light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. Oh, we got a good one. But before we get into our show, it is time for viewer mail. Our letter today coming from the Belmont Correctional Center in Ohio. His name, we'll just call him G. Dear Father Chapin, I am writing you today, but I forgot to record your ministry's address, so I won't be able to mail it or fill out the check request until next week when I can get it. I just started watching your program about a month ago when my COVID relief check came in and I could buy a TV. A friend of mine here is a priest that is turned a layman, and I saw him watching your show last year, and I've been wanting to watch it ever since. You're on our channels twice every Sunday, but I don't recall the name of the station or the time of the early showing. I just happened to catch it once when I wasn't able to get to sleep the night before. I particularly like the timing of the 10 o'clock broadcast, and I watch it when it is not preempted by Saved by the Bell. Ha ha. Yeah, we got a bit of problem with that particular network. But anyway, during your program breaks, you speak to us holding a cat. And I am a cat fanatic. In fact, I miss my last kitten almost as much as I miss my freedom. Is he a male or a female? What is his name? Well, her name is Stormy. Now, I would like to receive your newsletter. How frequently is it mailed? Well, that would be monthly. Please find the enclosed check. I know it's not a lot, but I hope it helps you spread the good news in the tri-state area for some time. Please pray for me as I am praying for you. Be well, be blessed and happy. G. P.S. I mentioned that our local channel shows your program twice every Sunday. May I please have the schedule? And P.P.S. Sending money from here can be a real pain. I realize that you are asking for a monthly contribution, but I'll try to make it quarterly. What do you even say? I mean, reaching a prisoner in his cell. The power of the word. Amazing. I'm at a loss for words, so what do you say we just get right on into our gospel today? Our gospel today is coming from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day. And through it all, the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them. But to his own disciples, he explained everything in private, the gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friend. Oh, this is a deep pool. Grab the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Bob Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we find ourselves in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, the parable of the mustard seed, a parable that tries to explain the unexplainable. Because today Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom of God. And of course, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love him. So where are we? Well, we're at the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has a very large crowd gathering around him. Long gone are the days of just Jesus and the 12. Now the crowds are huge as they follow this miracle man from Nazareth. So, as was his habit, Jesus gets into a boat, pushes a little bit offshore, turns to the crowds to teach them. This is something that he often does. In doing so, he is accomplishing two things. Number one, he is providing a separation between himself and the people so that everybody can see. And secondly, the water provides a natural amplification. So now people can hear. So let's put ourselves into the scene. Jesus is teaching the people. And well, the subject matter is out of this world. When I think of teaching, my mind goes to a professor at a chalkboard where she or he is attempting to illuminate a subject that is clearly and well-defined, but here, not so much. Like I said, we're in the fourth chapter of Mark, and this chapter begins with Jesus describing what can only be described as a very peculiar and reckless farmer. We know this as the parable of the sower. And as that story goes, we have a farmer who is taking seed and scattering it everywhere, which is very unusual, given how valuable seed was in the ancient world. Because it was. I mean, literally, seed was worth its weight in gold. Seed could mean the difference between a village feasting or a village starving. But in this parable of the sower, we've got this farmer and he's throwing seed everywhere. I mean, some is falling on the path, some is falling on rocky ground, some is ending up in the thorn bushes, which, like I said, is crazy. But such is the Father's reckless love for you, my friend. Every farmer knows this isn't how you're supposed to sow. Sowing is a process. You got to prepare the soil, you got to clear the rocks, you got to pull up any weeds, you got to dig a small hole. The seed is carefully placed in the hole, the soil is covered up. Again, we are in the fourth chapter of Mark, and he's describing this incompetent farmer. And he concludes by saying, some of the seed falls on rich soil, producing fruit. And then he ends with, whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. Now, I know this is really hard to do, but I want you to try to pretend just for a moment that you've never ever heard this story before. In fact, you've never even heard Jesus speak, but you've heard about him. You're hearing things, you know, evidently he's causing quite a stir among the people. He fed a massive crowd. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons, and he's not even charging. So you motor on down to the Sea of Galilee to check it out. Meanwhile, maybe you're motivated by sickness. Maybe you're motivated by hunger. Maybe you're motivated by an emptiness. Maybe you're just searching. And maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking that this guy, you know, maybe he has the answer. But when you get there, you end up hearing this strange story about incompetent farming. I mean, it's very confusing. It makes zero sense. In fact, it's so confusing that even his own disciples don't understand. And later on, when they get Jesus in private, they're like, what was that all about? And Jesus explains, the sower sows the word. So he's being very clear here. Not a whole lot of room for interpretation. The seed that is being sowed is God's word. And we can hear all about this word in the very beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what this means is that God's power, God's word, the word that became flesh, is the seed that is sown in you. A seed that was first foretold by John the Baptist. Remember him? Well, I guess it wasn't the first time, because I guess the prophets before him had alluded to him. But John the Baptist did have a message. It was a very powerful message. It was a very simple message. A message that Jesus picked up and didn't change any of it, carried it all the way to Calvary. A message that, dare I say, is as relevant today as the moment it was first spoken. And that message is, the kingdom of God is upon you. Right here, right now, you ain't ready. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the seed is the word. Now, this word, which we also know is called logos, has existed for all time. It is the Ancient of Age. We see this word move across the deep in Genesis. We see this word come upon the prophets who spoke the logos to the people. We see this word come down in the form of a dove on Jesus as he's being baptized by John the Baptist. We see this word drive Jesus into the desert to be tempted by Satan. And then we see the word come down on the apostles as tongues of fire on Pentecost. This word, my friend, the mind of God, the same spirit, is planted in you today, right now. So when Jesus starts talking about all these different situations that the seed, which we know is a word, finds itself falling, whether that might be on a path or on a rocky ground or on thorny ground or rich soil. What he's talking about are the many different circumstances and attitudes that the Word of God finds itself falling. Because you see, we are the soil. He's talking about us. So when you look at it that way, Jesus is not describing an incompetent farmer, but rather he's describing a generous farmer, which of course our Father in heaven is in regards to logos. You know, that word logos in Greek is translated as word of God, but it's way more than just that. Logos is much better defined as divine reason, the mind of God, the creative order. So the logos literally means the divine order of creation, or simply put, how everything is made. And we know from the Gospel of John that this word, this logos, becomes flesh. We know it as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, which of course would be the man Jesus, who we find today on the beaches of the Sea of Galilee, trying to explain to the people the unexplainable. And since you are a people, that means you. Jesus said to the crowds, this is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and he would sleep and rise night and day. And through it all, the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. So remember now, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And he's saying, this is how it is. This is how I'm going to usher it in. Now, when I think of a kingdom, you know, I think of Cinderella, you know, a king in a castle sitting on his throne, red cape, everything's grand. Everybody's doing these weird kind of curtsy, my lord, you know. But I think when most of us hear that phrase, kingdom of God, we think of a place where God is, a place that we hope someday we will be with God forever after we die. We call this place heaven. But when you consider the Greek word for kingdom, which is basilia, which is where we get the word basilica, it is defined as an area ruled by a king. But it can also refer to the power and the authority to rule as king. So in that context, the kingdom is not a place, but rather it is the ruling power that comes from God. So the kingdom becomes God's power, and that's what Jesus is trying to describe. And he begins describing God's power as a man scattering seed, the word of God. He goes on to say, and he sleeps and night and day. Well, he sleeps and night and day. What is exactly? I got it messed up here. What did he say? He says, okay, and he would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Meaning, like, he's working the fields, he's got his side of the street, but he's got to tend to the seed, you know, weeding, clearing out the rocks, watering. And it says, through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how, and of course he doesn't know. Now, today, through modern science, we have a better understanding of how a seed actually grows. But in the ancient world, they didn't have a clue. How a seed became a stalk of wheat was a total mystery. I mean, they knew how to prepare the soil. They knew what they needed to do. They knew what they had to do to make it grow. But as far as how it actually grew, understanding that, total mystery. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain on the ear. And then when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel that comes to us here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we have Jesus. He's trying to describe the indescribable, God's power. And he begins with a seed, continues with a sower managing the land well, working day after day, patiently waiting for the seed to grow itself. But this is an organic process, doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, which is completely counter to our world today. Because, of course, we don't got the time. I mean, when we want something, we want it now. The paradigm for this world is McDonald's. Efficient, cheap, fast. Yet here we have Jesus describing the kingdom of God as slow, something gradual. And my friends, we don't do slow well. Because as everybody knows, time is money. In fact, you know, there's a saying among the Filipino community. They will say that Westerners wear gods on their wrist. And there's a lot of truth to that, because it seems like just about everything we do is driven by time. Like I said, efficient, cheap, and fast. I mean, think about it. Just a generation ago, if you were hungry and you wanted to eat something, you had to stop and cook your food. Today, forget it. We got drive-thru. We don't even have to get out of our car. I mean, pretty soon we'll have somebody else chew it for us. And as we're waiting in line, idling through the drive-thru, we're thinking, why is this taking so long? Why? Because we don't have time. We don't have time. In Kenya, they say Westerners have watches but no time, Africans have time, but no watches. Again, that's very true. Like I said, we don't do slow well. I got a little brother, and when he goes to pump the gas, you know how when you prepay, the pump slows down really slow the last 20 seconds? Well, he just puts the nozzle back. Why? Because he don't have the time to wait. And that's our world. We don't read the whole story. We want sound bites. Just give me the skinny. I don't got time to read the whole thing. I mean, just a generation ago, 95% of all people got their news from a newspaper. Today, that number is less than 6%. What that means is that 95% of us get our news from the internet or, our phone. And what's the internet all about? It's about efficient use of space. Cutting it down to the bare bone. Just give me the bumper sticker. Now, this mindset has had a devastating effect on Christianity and religion as a whole. I mean, it's become our tradition to do a Catholic Mass in 1 hour or less. We will read short snippets of the Word, a thimbleful of Scripture, and then celebrate His real presence in what we call the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And if I were to ask many people who come to Mass, do you ever read the Bible for yourselves? They're going to say, no. I mean, that's what the priest is for, isn't it? Just give me the sound bite. I don't got the time. I got to go. Now, of course, I've got three small churches here in West Virginia, so I never go over an hour, but I have in the past, and 5 or 10 minutes over, you can get away with it. Okay, but 15, 20, oh, Houston, we got a problem. I mean, people are going to start looking at the God on their wrists. Jesus said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground is the smallest of all seeds in the earth. Now, I know everybody wants to make a big deal about how small the mustard seed is. And I get it. They're small. I've seen them. They're small. But I think that we put an undue emphasis on the size of the mustard seed and we miss the deeper point. I think we'd be much better served to just start with the mustard plant, which is actually more like a weed that is indigenous to Palestine. It's like a dandelion, easily thrown away. And I just gotta say, if I was the Son of God trying to illuminate the mysteries of the kingdom of God through a parable, I'm not going to be using a mustard plant, okay? I'm thinking more along the lines of like a redwood seed, you know, those big redwood trees that grow out in Northern California. That's what the kingdom of God seems to me. But, you know, I went to seminary and I learned two things. Number one, there is a God and it ain't me. So why would Jesus use such an insignificant plant to describe the kingdom of God or the power of God? I don't know. But maybe, and I'm just guessing here, but maybe he's trying to suggest to us that as we are seeking this kingdom of God, we might be looking in the wrong places. Instead of staring up in the sky for some tall tree, something dramatic, maybe we should be looking at our feet because the kingdom of God is all around us. And while its mysteries of the kingdom might appear to be hidden from us, Jesus did make us a promise. And the promise was the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the comforter, the teacher that is planted in you to teach you all things, to help you understand, like a secret spy decoder ring. I remember when I was a little boy, every morning I used to eat Captain Crunch for breakfast. I loved it. Can you imagine? Pure sugar. And I remember one time they had this promotion on the back of the cereal box, talking all about this secret spy decoder ring that if you sent in 10 box tops, they'd mail you one. So I was all about this ring. Well, my friends, hear me when I say that Jesus is our secret spy decoder ring. He illuminates us to the mysteries of the kingdom. He is the cipher. And how do you access that? How do you access Holy Spirit? His word. And where is the word? Well, this is the best part. You don't have to climb a mountain in Tibet to find it because it's already planted in you. Nothing short of the power of God is planted in you right now. But you have your side of the street. We all have our side of the street. And that is that we need to tend to our seed daily, one day at a time, one moment at a time. And it is gradual, often tedious, day after day. And here's the problem. So many of us don't want to take the time. So many of us don't want to put in the work. So many of us want to pull up to a fast food religion and cry out, why is this taking so long? Consequently, we don't have eyes to see or ears to hear because we're too busy to take care of our soil. How can we know anything about the seed if we don't take time to investigate? How can we ever come to know the word if we never even take the time to read the word? Hear me when I say, if your spiritual growth is wholly dependent on sound bites from a guy like me on Sunday morning, well, then you are spiritually anemic. If you want to know the mind of God, if you want to know what he's thinking, if you want to know what God is up to, read his word. And if you want to hear God speak to you, read it out loud. And over time, one day at a time, spiritual fruit will grow in you. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As you remember, you do not grow the seed. The seed grows you. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is B1. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.